Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. I accompany Adam Shaw, who, having worked for 13 years on the front line of the NHS as a nurse on a heart ward, has used his experiences there to develop Walk Innovation, a health and personal development program to help people overcome stress and avoid heart disease. The interview was recorded on a walk around St Albans on a sunny afternoon in May 2011. You just mentioned that you're a heart health consultant. Can you try and explain a little bit about what that entails?
That's a good question. Having looked after so many people that had heart disease, looked after so many people with heart attacks, and realising that most people that get heart disease, especially the ones who have actual heart attacks, they never really saw it coming. And I spent many years talking at length with hundreds of people who'd actually had the heart attacks and found that there's a trail of symptoms. So being a heart health consultant, most of my role is educational. Most people won't even address heart disease as an issue until they've got hypertension. A lot of people, amazing how many people don't even see that as a problem. Whereas hypertension is probably about 80% down the line towards a heart attack. So seeing all the pain, suffering, misery and death that I did at the NHS, I decided to set myself up as an educational resource to prevent people from getting heart disease way before they actually ended up in hospital with a heart attack. So I teach techniques, I bring awareness, for people to at least slow down, but in some cases stop or even reverse the symptoms of heart disease while it's early enough to do so, and that's the key here.
So are these people that come to you, or do you go to them? I mean, how do people know that they need help? Because part of the problem is most people haven't got a clue.
That's the $64,000 question there, Andrew. No one's ill until they're actually wired up on a monitor, and my experience is that even when that happens, we work in the NHS, even with people who've had a heart attack, they've got permanent damage to their heart, they still want to know. They don't want to know how much damage they've done, they want to know when they can get back to the lifestyle that led them to the hospital in the first place. So, yes, I'm still working on how to target my pitch and actually get people to realise that they are at risk. But of course, nobody wants to be ill, and rather than the complete holistic homeostasis of the body, most people perceive health as just the absence of illness, serious illness. So this is the issue that I face.
The thing that drew me into your circle, I was doing something on workplace health. I contacted the Stress Management Society.
Because obviously heart stress is related to pretty much all stress. All stress has to go through the heart. The heart is our engine. Stress is generally created in the head. And the heart would be the shock absorber, having to deal with the cost of the stress issues that are caused in the head. So
what intrigued me, of course, was that you'd come up with this program called Walk Innovation. Now, what's it all about?
I've been worked in the NHS on the front line for 13 years, and seeing what I saw, there's certain common things that came to me. Now, I think people are looking for a magic wand. There's a lot in the NHS. The first thing they'll ask is, do you have a family history? Do you smoke? What's your diet like? There's a very, how much exercise do you get? And I think most people associate exercise with going to gyms, with having to join a team, to do a class. And I think with the conclusion I've come to after studying numerous alternative therapies and energy medicines, that the missing link is people aren't walking enough.
It's that simple.
It is that simple. I mean, if you look at it from a bigger point of view, take a broader perspective here, we're hunter-gatherers. And if you look at the timeline in the many millions of years that humans or human forms have been on this planet, We are designed to walk long distances, to literally go out and hunt and gather our food and to be quite active. Since the Industrial Revolution, we've been moving increasingly to a more sedentary society. And because people aren't active, every system in the body is suffering, because walking can regulate things like diabetes, it can naturally reduce blood pressure, it releases endorphins into our body so we get a natural feel good. I've seen people now who will get in their cars to drive down the shop that's less than half a mile away. As we move more towards this inactivity, health issues are going to be more of a problem. So for all of the esoteric things and complementary and many years that I've studied things for health and well-being, it really comes down. The bottom line is, just need to walk more.
Tell us what walk innovation entails. What happens?
Walk innovation is an active energy system. I mean, this is a system of walking. It brings together predominantly the fields of personal development and energy medicine.
Now, some people might get a bit squiffy about energy medicine.
Energy medicine.
Well, that sounds a bit white witch.
Of course it does, yes. So, I mean, the most commonly accepted form of energy medicine at the moment is Reiki. People may or may not be aware of Reiki. Now, I was very cynical about Reiki. When I first got into it, I would understand anyone being cynical. I was medically trained. I was used to treating all illnesses with drugs. And this was my model of reality. I couldn't possibly imagine that there was a way that we could heal ourselves. Until it happened to me when I first trained as a Reiki master, I had to work on myself, and it brought up all of my emotional issues. And without going into huge detail, I had an indisputable experience that although I was physically healthy, mentally, because of all my family relationship issues, I was heading towards heart disease or illness or early death. I'd seen it hundreds of times in hospital. When people are about to die, two things will always come up. Any unresolved family issue will either cause happiness or extreme pain if they've not been dealt with. And people will always get to question their purpose in life. And I didn't have particularly great relationships with all of my family. And what going into the field of energy medicine made me do was repair all of my family relationships. I now have a great relationship with all of my family. And with the history that we had, some people would consider it, well, how did you manage that? Mm-hmm. How could you possibly forgive your family for what they did? But then they had to forgive me, because there's two sides to every argument. And I worked out that it's better to forgive and be harmonious than it is to hold this stuff, because it only affects us. If we've got resentment towards other people, it manifests within our body, within our heart, and it does cause disease.
Okay, so I've signed up for Walk Innovation. I come and meet you. What happens?
People are coming just for me. If it were just me and you now, I would ask you what you want to talk about, and then we'd go walking, and I'd let you lead the way. We like metaphor. Most people prefer a good story, like Aladdin or the Sleeping Beauty. People love a story. Now, if you go into your personal stuff, then that's not quite so intriguing. Even from a young age, I've realised that the power of metaphor. And not only that, but when you take someone walking and they lead you to a place that of beauty that they never knew existed, it quite often manifests that they've not just done that physically, but in their own mind, they've reached some conclusion on the issue that we're talking about. And I've had people that couldn't move through it that have literally, on this process, believe it or not, been ploughing through brambles or stinging nettles. People will naturally walk towards an area that reflects where they are in their mind. Now, I've spent 4 years studying this. At first, I thought it was just coincidence. But every walk has a relevance to where people are at. So if I'm working with people one-on-one, I will just let them walk, and then we'll reach a point where they're either stuck or they're having a breakthrough, and I'll say, well, have you realised what we're talking about and where you've led us? And quite often that's an aha moment for people. They're talking about their stuff and they've led us to this place of brambles or stinging nettles or whatever it is when people aren't moving forward in their life. So they have to accept the fact that when you're in that bad place mentally, your walk will somehow reflect it. And the one-on-one process, the individual process, which is literally me talking to you on an audio download, just enables you to learn about grounding. Now, our heart is an electrical organ, and in much the same way that electricity is unsafe unless it's grounded, we are actually quite unsafe as human beings if we're not grounded. People that are ungrounded, I've found they'll be apathetic, they'll be distracted easily, inability to focus on one thing at a time, and being ungrounded in its extreme form can lead to suicidal thought. So teaching people how to ground themselves is actually essential. Well, the irony is, I know how weird this would have sounded to me before I went down this path, so maybe I should backtrack a little bit here. When you've looked after enough people who are literally on death's door, you've literally taken them through their final moments on this planet, and you've seen the profound shift that is possible when people have nothing to lose, when they know they're going to die anyway. You can help people, you can really help people, because they know that there's just no time left to make these changes. I've seen amazing healings, I've seen huge acts of forgiveness, I've seen bonding, I've seen unbelievable pain and suffering. The people that kept their bitterness right to the end. When people come to you and they've been handed a death sentence, and the doctors say, I'm sorry, you will definitely be dead within a couple of weeks or a couple of days, or even sometimes in a couple of hours, and people come to you and say, is there anything I can do? That's really started my path. So that's my reason why that I ended up on this journey of alternative health, because the NHS is great because it's a free service. If I break my leg or had an accident, there's no place on this planet I'd rather be. It's in a hospital with the acute medicine. The NHS is a very valuable resource. But what I found is in treating long-term illness, that there's a huge gap in our current understanding in the receptivity to alternative therapies, to complementary medicine, to energy medicine. And it's only through an experience that I've had of working with these disciplines of neuro-linguistic programming, of hypnotherapy, of timeline therapy, which is a regressive technique. When you've had an experience of working with these fields and you've had an undeniable experience that they do work, that they do add something to the pot here, you become increasingly open-minded. And I don't expect the people listening to this to really get the full essence of what I'm putting forward to, because walk innovation and the active energy system is an experience. It's not an intellectual concept.
It's not something to be discussed and then absorbed. It's an experience. Yeah. Get out there and do it.
Absolutely. I mean, it would be exactly the same as saying, right, I'm going to teach you how to drive a car. Here's an audio.
Yeah.
Go off, have a sit down, relax, and by the time you've finished it, you'll be a proficient driver.
Once someone's walked with you or followed the instructions or whatever, what's the sort of duration of a walk innovation experience?
Walk innovation is a series of steps, but it's a progression of steps in an order of priority. So it means that if you're going walking or doing a Three Peaks challenge or around the world walk, you can use it. Or even if you're getting up when you're walking from your couch to your kitchen, you can do the step, you can ground yourself. It's about association. See, most people, when we learn, we sit down, we're physically inactive. And it's been proven that we learn by association. So by sitting down in a classroom and being physically inactive and learning powerful techniques that are going to change our life is contradictory. So if you're going to learn anything, do it while you're physically active, so that you associate action with the concepts and the insights. And that's the key principle of walk innovation and active energy, as opposed to sitting down learning.
The actual movement of our limbs what opens the brain up and gets us to be a bit more absorptive. Is that right? No, that's probably not the right language, but
well, I get what you're yeah. saying. Absolutely, you are absorbing more, but key principle you've hit on there is the brain. The brain is made up of two sides. We've got a left-sided, which is our logical centre, and we've got a right-sided, creative, emotional centre. And I've found that most people prefer, when they're physically inactive, to operate from one side of the brain or the other. I found that if I'm sitting down, I'm mainly logical. Whereas I certainly know a lot of people who are very emotional, and I can put a logical concept to them and suddenly they've lost the plot. Now, I found it very difficult relating to certain members of my family for years because I never really understood this. And what I'd find is if we had a big argument and I went walking, I'd reach insight. I never really understood why. I just thought, well, walking's good. But what it does, it balances the sides of the brain. So people like me who are predominantly logical based, when they're inactive, it will bring me more in touch with my creative, emotional side and give me more empathy to people who are more emotional. And for people who are more emotional and do blow up easily, a walk will bring them more inside of their logical side of their brain. So there's actually so many really good, powerful reasons why walking is not just great for our health and well-being, but also for our mind, you know, to balance things in our mind.
So the walk innovation that we've been speaking about, is that something that anyone can do, or is there a specific audience that you think could benefit the most?
This is a technique that can be used by everybody, especially office workers.
Okay.
I think they would be a really good target for Walk Innovation's active energy system, because it's been proven that stress and inactivity are very closely intertwined, and that by learning just the grounding technique and how to focus your energy would be of huge benefit. Employers are missing a trick by not encouraging people to get in touch with the power of active energy.
If we applied it into the workplace setting, would you be looking at employers to say, okay, we'll give time out for our staff to go for a walk? Or do you think this is something that individual employees, people who are at work sitting at their desk, they have to find the time?
That's a good question, a very good question. I mean, I used to have an office job. I used to work in a merchant bank, and even in my role, which was mainly sitting at a desk, I had to move to go to the computers a good few times a day. I had to move to the toilet, obviously. Mm. So these are walking times. Okay, they might not take long, but that's long enough to get in touch with, to do the techniques of the active energy system.
So you only need literally five minutes or 5 minutes?
Not
or 10
even
minutes.
That. You can really? Do it from your couch to the kitchen. You can ground yourself. I mean, just by learning grounding will change everything for people. So it's one step at a time. There's 15 steps of the active energy system in its current form. But if you learn just two of them, the first one, do it. And the second one, ground yourself every time you go walking. It will change everything.
I want you to recommend a couple of walks. Now, you might say, well, I can't do that because each individual will just make the walk as they go. But I'm just wondering whether you can recommend a walk for someone or for anyone who's listening.
Well, I have a favourite walk in St Albans. It's the Gorhambury walk. And I mean, that's about a 2.5 hour round walk. But the walk I would really recommend is that you actually do the process of the active energy system and see where it leads you. Mm-hmm. Be adventurous. Start taking paths that you wouldn't normally take. It's amazing how it opens up your mind as well as introduces you to aspects of your local area that you would never have investigated before. So the walk I would recommend is start walking down routes that you've never been, and you never know what you might find.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Adam Shaw. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.